morning, Northwoods Online, and Happy New Year. It is 2022 already, and I'm so excited for this new year. But before I tell you some of the things that we have coming up, I just want to let you know that today is a Communion Sunday, and so feel free to take some time right now to go into your kitchen and find something to represent the bread and the juice so that you can participate in communion along with us this morning. Well, like I said, we have a lot coming up right at the beginning of the year. And if you've been around Northwoods for a while, you probably know what to expect. But if you're new, I just want to let you know we are beginning the year with 21 days set aside for prayer and fasting. And we have daily devotionals made for you by Pastor Cal and Pastor John with some really intentional teaching. There are some journaling prompts, and it is a great way for you to just dive into this year with really intentional prayer. Maybe praying for some of those hard things and leaning into those and just giving God really the first fruits of our year. So check out the link on your screen. All of the resources for the fast and for prayer are right there at that link. And also, you're going to hear a lot more about this in our message this morning. But the whole theme for the fast is the blessed year. And you know, that's so simple, but I am so glad that we are part of a community and part of a church body that is putting aside time to really lean into the Lord and to pursue a blessed year. Well, we are ready to get started, but before we do, I need to go over all of the usual things that we want you to know this service. And the first is, of course, to join the chat. Maybe you've already done that and said hello. I'd just love to know, how did you celebrate your New Year's? Were you with family, friends? Were you chilling at home, playing games, whatever it might be? Let us know how you rang in the New Year. Maybe you were asleep. And that's totally fine too. I know it's getting harder and harder for me to stay up until midnight and ring in the new year. We also have our prayer team standing by, and they would love to pray with you. If you have anything that you need prayer for, just click on that request prayer button if you're joining us on northwoods.online. And if you're not and you need prayer in the moment, go to Northwoods Online and click on that button. We really would love to be praying with you this morning. If you're new today, welcome. I'm so glad that you decided to kick off the year with us. Go ahead and text NEW to the number on your screen so that I can meet you, chat with you, answer questions you have, and just welcome you into Northwoods, because again, we are so glad that you are here. And if you've been with us for a while, don't forget to fill out the connection card. Yes, we are still asking you to do that because it is so important to us. It provides a way for us to know that you're here tuned in to connect with you. You can submit any prayer requests that will get sent along to our entire prayer team, and you can request more information about some fun things that we have coming up here at the church. So I hope that you have a wonderful morning and enjoy the rest of service. Northwoods Online starts right now.
God, we praise your name. Hey, come on, church, let's sing it out.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied right here in your love.
Come on, lift your voice today. We sing. Nothing like you. Nothing is better than you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, if you believe that, we sing it today. Say, I'm not afraid.
Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my faith. The God of the valley, oh yes you are, and
bit of a theme that's going on today. And we sing a lot about this idea of victory, of spiritual victory. And it's really important that we don't just let it be a nice idea, but that we really root ourselves in what Scripture says about the spiritual victory that is ours in Christ. You know, Christ won the ultimate victory over sin, over death. And when we place our faith in Him, we share in that victory. And that's what we celebrate. But you know, this week, as I was just thinking about the idea of living every day, daily lives as spiritual victors, I felt the Lord remind me that there is no victory without a battle. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather just hang a victory on my wall, not go into battle. You know what I mean? But that's not what happens. The Bible is clear that we are going to face trouble and hard things in this life. And so if I either can go through hard things by myself in my own strength or with Jesus, the ultimate victor, I'm going to choose Jesus. I want Him walking through the battle, marching into battle with me. So in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul is encouraging a group of Christians who knew what it was like to face a battle. I mean, they were facing all kinds of hardships, whether it was famine or a lack of material possessions, even persecution and martyrdom. But he says in verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And he goes on to describe that there is nothing on earth in the spiritual realm, nothing we face could separate a Christ follower from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's something to celebrate. And so listen, church, if God's love was their victory 2,000 years ago when they faced famine and persecution and martyrdom, we can be confident that His love is our victory today, no matter what we face. If we face job loss, divorce, economic crisis, the list goes on. All the things that we've carried in, the battles that we're in the midst of right now, that Jesus says, but you are a spiritual conqueror. I have made you more than conquerors through my love. And so today we want to teach you a new song that I really believe is going to be an anthem of hope for our church this year.
Our hope is still the same, and heart.
thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you and through you, we overcome. We thank you for that truth today. In church right now, no one looking around, I want you to just ask the Lord in your heart. You may already know, but I want you to ask him anyways. Ask him, Lord, where is a place in my life right now that you want to release your victory? That you want me to overcome? Just ask him. And then what I want you to do right now, just thank the Lord. Whatever that issue is, whatever that challenge is you may be facing today, thank him by faith that you are more than a conqueror, that you will have victory. And whatever that is right now, just agree with the Lord by faith. Lord, I thank you. No matter what it is that we face today, I thank you, Jesus. It's in you that we reign in life, that we are more than conquerors. And so, Lord, right now, every single situation, whether in people's marriages, whether in their families, whether lost friends and family members they want to see saved, maybe it's been years you've been praying for that person to come to know the Lord. Whatever the challenge, whatever the difficulty, whatever the predicament, we just declare over it all right now the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by his blood we overcome. We claim that today over ourselves, over our families, over our households, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Church, before you take your seats, find a few people around you and tell them, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Come on, somebody. Happy 2022. Man. And I'm glad that you could join us today, whether here in person or online. From all of us here at Northwoods, Happy New Year to you. Hope you're ready to crush 2022, okay? Somebody is over there. Look. We are just thankful that we had, we got to see God do mighty things through the Christmas production. And John's going to give you an update on that as he comes up here. But I hope that following that, you all had a great week just with family. I hope you got some time to eat some good food, because we're not going to be eating good food for a little while, okay? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But first off, those of you that are new here today, if you're joining us online or here in person and you're brand new to Northwoods, first off, welcome. We're so glad that you could join us today, but we want to meet you, okay? We want to meet you. We want to get to know your name, get to know you, get you connected here at Northwoods. So if you're brand new, here's what I want you to do. Pull out your phone and text NEW, N-E-W, to the number up on the screen, and that's going to get you connected to one of our pastors here, okay? It'll help make a new church seem a little less intimidating and a little more inviting. You'll get to know some people and hopefully make some solid relationships here at Northwoods. So if you're new, do that. Text N-E-W to that number on the screen. And then the rest of you seasoned veterans, you know what I'm going to say? Connection card, there it is. You're getting faster at it, okay? Go ahead and fill out the connection card right there in the Northwoods app if you can. And while you're doing that, you heard me make mention of not eating earlier, okay? As we come into 2022, we're not just coming into a brand new series called The Blessed Year, where we're gonna look at Psalm 119, but we are gonna kick off our corporate 21-day fast as a church. And again, John is going to have more information for us about why we fast, how to fast, all that kind of stuff. He's going to get into that. But the important thing for us today is that you know at northwoods.church/blessed year, northwoods.church/blessed year, We got a boatload of resources for you, okay? We've got daily devotional videos that Pastor John and Pastor Cal have put together to keep us on track going through Psalm 119 together. We've got worship videos for you to use in your own time with the Lord. We've got fasting resources. We have Bible reading plans, all kinds of stuff that I know will be helpful to you, that will bless you and encourage you. So make use of that, or just check it out today. When church is done, go to northwoods.church/blessed year, okay? And then last thing, if you're giving today, first off, thank you again for your faithful giving. But don't forget, you can give at the back of the auditorium, at the drop boxes, you can give online, you can give through the app, or you can use good old USPS, all right? Whatever you wanna do, whatever works best. Reminder though, if you're giving online, you can schedule your giving. That tool is available for you there, all right? If you're giving online, so make sure to make use of that, all right? That's all I've got for you today. So grab your Bibles, get something to take notes on, because we are diving in. Thank you so much for being here.
We got a little celebrating we need to do this morning for what God did through the Christmas production just a few weeks ago. So let me give you just a few quick numbers here, okay? There were 21,517 people that attended the Christmas production this year. And there were 1,282 people who indicated they made a decision to surrender their lives to Jesus. Come on, church, that's something we're celebrating. That's incredible. Now, we have had higher attendance and number of salvations in the past before, but on any given year, my dad's always said that if you see a 5% return, so 5% of the total attendance of people who surrendered their life to Jesus, that's an incredible year. And if you look at those numbers that we saw this year, that's almost 6%. That's incredible what God did through our Christmas production. And church, I want to remind you that every single one of us were a part of what happened this year. You're a part of it through your giving, you're part of it through your serving, whether you were serving in the lobby with children, whether you're part of the cast and crew, you were part of it through prayer. Every single one of us got to be a part of that. So thank you, church, for partnering with us, partnering together with God, and just for, it's incredible to see what he did. Can we just stop and just thank God real quick for what he did? Let's just pray together and thank him, church. Lord, we just thank you again for the many, many people whose eternities were changed through the production this year. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would keep that fire in our heart, that evangelistic heartbeat of this church that we've always had. I pray you would reignite that fire. You would keep that fire burning hot. That we would always have people who are far from you on our heart and have a desire to want to reach them and to have them come into a knowledge of Jesus Christ, who you are, and place their trust and their faith in you. And so we pray that you would keep that fire burning strong in our hearts, and we thank you for all that you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as we stand here, just 2 days into the new year, I'm guessing many of us have probably put some time, you know, into thinking what kind of year you hope to have in 2022. You know, some of us have maybe a word for our year. Some of us have resolutions. In fact, I recently came across a study that listed the top 10 New Year's resolutions in the U.S. So I'm going to list these, and I want you to see not only if how many of you might relate with some of these, but I want you to notice if you see anything missing. All right, so number one, lose weight. All right, we get that, right? Work a few of those frosted Christmas cookies off. Thank God for the fast. Okay, number two, get organized. Hello, garage. Needs to be organized, right? Number three, spend less, save more. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Number five, stay fit and healthy. In other words, commit to the gym past January. Number six, learn something new and exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, help someone else achieve their dreams. Number nine, fall in love. And number 10, spend more time with family. Now, those are all great goals that center around self-improvement, money, relationships. And I think we could say that we tend to think if we focus on being more disciplined in those areas, it will bring happiness to our lives. And for the most part, I would agree. Right? We tend to be happier when we are healthier, when we are more organized, our finances are in order, and we have strong relationships with others. But did you notice anything that was missing from that list? Listen, if a preacher ever asks you a question in church, you can just, a safe answer is Jesus, okay? You got that right? One thing I don't see, there is anything around spiritual growth. And I would make the case that growing in our relationship with the Lord is the way to true happiness and joy. You know, the Bible has a word for happy, and it's the word blessed. And so I would say it this way, 2022 will be a blessed year if we will make it our best year spiritually. 2022 will be one of your best years if you will make it, will be a blessed year if you will make it your best year spiritually. Now listen, I'm not saying neglect your health, your finances, relationships, those things matter. I'm just saying of number one importance should be growing in our relationship with the Lord. If we will put energy and effort there, I promise you, you will be blessed. And so today as we kick off this series, I want to show you this idea in God's word. And one place this is found in particular is Psalm 119. So if you have your Bible, if you have the YouVersion app on your phone, you can go there. It's literally, if you just open your Bible to pretty much the middle, you're going to find Psalm 119. I think they say 117 is the middle, but Psalm 119, right there in the middle. So you can turn there. And I want to let you know, as you're turning there, throughout this upcoming 21-day fast and this series, we're going to walk all the way through Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it has 22 sections or stanzas of 8 verses. And so each stanza is actually headed, you'll see this, with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, thus 22 stanzas, one for each letter. First stanza we'll walk through today is verses 1 through 8. At the top of it, you'll see the heading that says Aleph, which is the Hebrew letter like our letter A. In fact, if you were to read verses 1 through 8 in Hebrew, you would find that every sentence in there starts with Aleph. It'd be like us kind of saying, all those who follow the Lord are blessed. Next sentence, you know, apples are good. I'm trying to think of words with A, right? But it just, you keep going down, it's all the letter A. And that's how it works throughout this psalm. So we'll walk through this first stanza today, and that will leave us 21 more, which pairs great with the 21-day fast that starts tomorrow. And then at the end of our time today, I'm going to take a little bit of time to talk about the fast, kind of let you know what's coming up with that. But right now, we're going to start with the first section of these 8 verses. So Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3 says this, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. Now, like I said, that word blessed literally means happy. In fact, in the Dictionary of Biblical Languages, they say it this way. It's a heightened state of happiness and joy, implying very favorable circumstances and enjoyment. So question, does anybody in here or anybody listening online want to experience higher levels of joy and happiness in 2022? Just go ahead and put your hand up if that's you. Okay, all right, right, we're all on the same page. We all want that. Good news. God's word tells us how we can be blessed. It says, happy are those, joyful are those who walk according to the law of the Lord. That's a reference to God's word. Then it says again, blessed are those who keep his statutes, another reference to God's word, and seek him with all their heart. Then it says they do no wrong, but follow his ways. In other words, the road to joy and happiness is routed through God's word. It says, blessed are those who walk according to it, keep his statutes, and follow his ways. But here's what I want you to get right off the bat. If you're going to walk, keep, and follow, you must first know. You know what I'm saying? You can't walk, keep, and follow God's word if you don't know God's word. So you want to know how to have a blessed year? Here's key number one. Know God's word. Know God's word. You know, as I look back at some of the history of other Christians in the past, William Wilberforce, the Christian British politician, who is in most part responsible for abolishing the slave trade in the British Empire, wrote in his journal in the year 1869, walked today from Hyde Park Corner, repeating the 119th Psalm in great comfort. He knew Psalm 119 by heart. Henry Martin, a pioneering missionary to India, who not only memorized Psalm 119 as an adult, went on to translate the New Testament into three different languages. He had an incredibly difficult life, but he said it was God's word alone that gave him strength to endure. David Livingstone, who was a pioneer missionary to Africa, I thought it was funny that he won a contest as a 9-year-old and received a Bible for reciting Psalm 119 by heart. Now, I could give you other examples, but here are three people who achieved a great deal for God, and I think there's a connection between their knowledge of God's word and all they accomplished for God. And so I just have a sense that not only would our lives bring a great deal more spiritual value, but also we would find more joy and happiness if we learned to spend more time in God's word. This is where it all starts. And so not only will we walk through Psalm 119 in this fast, but I want to encourage you, church, if you don't have one, to get a Bible reading plan this year and commit to reading through God's word. Listen, if you can watch through all 7 seasons of The Office this year for like the 15th time, you can read through God's word. Trust me, you can do it. And so I want to invite you to join me in reading through the Bible this year. In fact, if you go to northwoods.church/Bible, northwoods.church/Bible, you can find the Bible reading plan that I will be doing. You can print it from our website, or you can click the link to the plan for the YouVersion app on your phone. It's 4 chapters a day. It'll take you 10 to 15 minutes tops. And again, that's not a big chunk of time. And what I love about this plan is it'll give you some Old Testament and some New Testament. Now, I used to try to read through the Bible, just go Genesis all the way through, and it was like Leviticus was always the graveyard for my 1-year Bible reading plan, right? But I love how this plan, it's the Murray McShane plan. It kind of gives you some Old Testament and some New Testament, so it keeps it fresh every day. So if we want to be blessed, it starts with a renewed commitment to know God's word. Now, look back at Psalm 119. I want you to notice the pronoun change here. The first 3 verses, we saw words like those, there, they. But now there's a pronoun shift where he's talking about God. Look at verse 4. He says, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Now, throughout this psalm, you'll see different synonyms for God's word. You'll see things like statutes, precepts, laws, ordinances, commands. And we will actually unpack 7 of those synonyms during our daily devotionals. But for now, just know they all refer to God's word and kind of cover a different facet of it. But I want you to notice here, it says God has laid down his word so that it can be what? Written in nice hand lettering and posted in decorative places all over our house. Studied for academic training. Those are fine. But it says, this shows us one of the main reasons God laid down his word is so that we could obey it. So you want to have a blessed year? Know God's word. Here's key number 2. Obey God's word. In our daily devotional videos that we'll be sharing every day throughout the 21-day fast, I'll share a story with you about my daughter, Joanna. Joanna is 3. She's about to be 4 here in January. And obviously at that age, she's learning obedience to her dad's word. And I'll just say this, Joanna is a very obedient child. Many times when I tell her to do something, ask her to do something, she just says, sure, Dad, and she goes and does it. But a little while back, Joanna had just woken up for the day, and after giving her a hug and telling her good morning, I said, Joanna, we're going to go downstairs and eat breakfast, but before we go downstairs, I want you to go back to your room, and I want you to change out of your PJs into your clothes for the day. So this is what I've said. And this is her response. No, thanks, Dad. I'll just do that later. Any of you ever had a child who kind of just like disregards what you say, right? It's kind of just like, okay, you know what I'm talking about. I looked at her and said, Joanna, I'm sorry, but that wasn't a suggestion. I'm saying go do that right now. I told you that because I want you to do it now. See, understand, I didn't tell Joanna that because I'd like to hear myself talk. Or because I just want her to study my words. You know, Dad, in the morning around 6:30, he loves to say, change out of your PJs and go get in your clothes for the day. He does it with this kind of inflection. It's so cool how he says it like that. So nice that he says it that way. Now, listen, that sounds funny, but that's what some people do with God's word. Just rather study it than actually follow it. Studying is good, but it should lead to following it. See, as a parent, and you know this if you're a parent, when you give a command, you expect, I hope you expect, that your children will obey. And this says in this verse that God has laid down his word so that his children would obey it. Let me give another verse that uses the word blessed and talks about this very idea of obedience. James, the New Testament, said, James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. There's that word again, in what they do. You want to be blessed in what you do. Obey God's word. Now listen, this isn't anything profound this morning. We're getting back to basics, right? But it's the basics that lead to a blessed life. So know God's word. Obey God's word. Let's look back at Psalm 119 and continue reading verses 5 through 6. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. See, here we now see the psalmist, he's almost crying out to God and basically says that blessed are the people who know God's word and follow it, but yet I realize in my own strength, I'm powerless to keep your word, Lord. I want to do it, but I can't. In fact, when I put my life up against your word, I recognize how far I fall short. And so we need to kind of recognize here that he is in essence crying out for God's grace to empower him. And that's key number three. If you want to have a blessed year, is depend on God's grace. Depend on God's grace. See, we're all familiar with the word grace. You know, we name our kids Grace. You know, I've known people who name their daughters, you know, the Greek word for grace, which is charis. This is a word we're familiar with. But what I found is that many times we miss the full meaning of all that God's grace encompasses. I remember one time when all my brothers and sisters were younger, we were all younger, and we were on a road trip with, you know, obviously with my parents. And we were just wreaking havoc in the car. You know, it's one of those times where, you know, my dad's about ready to lose it. You know, we're arguing with one another, you know, shouting all kinds of stuff. And one of the things my dad used to love to do on road trips is we would always stop and get Dairy Queen. And I promise I won't talk about Dairy Queen during the fast, but I can do it today since the fast starts tomorrow, right? We would stop and get Dairy Queen, and he would always get this Sprite shake. The thing was on the menu. It's basically a vanilla milkshake with Sprite in it. If you never tried it, try it out before the fast start. It's amazing. But we had been arguing. Remember, my parents said, okay, that's it. You've lost ice cream. We're not stopping at Dairy Queen. And obviously, you know, it's like the end of the world for us. We're all disappointed. But sometime later, I'm wondering if my dad just started like, you know what, I'm going to get Dairy Queen anyways, and we can just teach him about grace in the process. Sometime later, my parents pulled up the car near Dairy Queen and proceeded to teach us about grace. And they said something to the effect of, I still remember this, we've decided that we are going to offer you grace, which means we're going to give you what you don't deserve. You do not deserve to get ice cream today, but we're going to be gracious to you and give you ice cream. Okay, all was right in the world again in that van. But that's generally what we think of when we think of God's grace. It's him giving us what we do not deserve. God in his grace willingly gave his son to die and forgive our sins, that now when we surrender our lives to him in repentance and faith, all of our sin is forgiven and we are justified and given eternal life. True, but understand, God's grace is more than just an attitude or a disposition in his nature. Grace is not only the act by which God saves. It's also the power by which he sustains us. God's grace does more than just justify us. It's his grace that sanctifies us, which is just a big word that means that talks about the process by which we grow in Christlikeness. See, so many times we act as if I needed God's grace to be saved, but then we think, okay, now that I'm saved, from this point on, it's no longer God's grace going to help me grow in holiness. It's going to come by human grit. I'm just going to work this. I'm going to work this out on my own. I'm going to strive. I'm going to be better. I'm going to stop yelling at my kids. I'm going to stop entertaining those thoughts. And while there certainly is partnership as we work with God and yield to his leading, let's not forget that apart from his enabling and empowering grace, we are powerless to change. We need his enablement and empowerment. In fact, in many places in the Bible, the energizing, sanctifying work of the Spirit is spoken of as the grace of God. For example, if you remember Paul, it was him who talked about his thorn in the flesh. The Bible doesn't exactly tell us what that meant for Paul. It could have been a struggle, a certain temptation, a weakness. We're not sure, but Paul prayed that the Lord would take it away. And look at what the Lord said. Probably heard this passage, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. So understand, at this point, Paul had already been saved. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. What is he saying here? God is saying the supply, the never-ending supply of my grace will not only help you to carry out your ministry, Paul, but will enable you and empower you to endure. It's enablement and empowerment. My grace will be your strength. We need God's grace, not just at the moment of our salvation, but every moment. And that sounds a lot like coming before the Lord and praying, Lord, thank you for your never-ending supply of grace in my life. And through your grace, I ask you now to empower me and enable me to be patient with my children today. Lord, in your grace, transform my desires to be in line with yours. Lord, through your grace, empower me to forgive people that might offend me or hurt me today. Lord, through your grace, empower me to love my spouse with a selfless love. If we will learn to depend and rely on God's enabling and empowering grace every day, I'm telling you right now, you will be blessed. It will be a blessed year. Let's look back at Psalm 119 as we finish out this first section here. Verses 7 through 8 says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. So the psalmist, we've talked about know God's word, obey God's word, depend on God's grace. He's almost making a commitment here. You see what he's saying? I will obey your decrees. That's a commitment. That's resolve. And so I think if we're going to be blessed, it also means that, this kind of ties in with point number two there, but it means we resolve to live God's way, no matter what. Resolve to live God's way. I thought this was good. That word resolve is related to the term resolution. And as I was thinking about resolutions, I came across something that an author named Jason Sorosky had written on the topic of resolutions. And I thought this was really good. He said, resolution. Webster's dictionary defines the word as being marked by firm determination. And the word dominates every new year. To the musician, A resolution is a harmony line moved from a dissonant tone, one that does not fit the melody, to a consonant tone, one that fits. Harmonies can dance and amaze us with varied complexities for a while, but they must eventually resolve. To the writer, a resolution is the end of a story, the final element of a twisting plot wrought with conflict, finally resolved to an ending where all is well. To the chemist, it's the separation of a chemical compound back into its simplest parts. To the statesman, it's an expression of the determined will of an elected body. To the graphic artist, it's the sharpness of the pixel count on a screen and the quality of the image produced. And then he said, by any definition, a resolution is characterized by a return to simplicity, a focus on sharp definition and determination broken down to its simplest, most harmonious parts. Without resolution, art, science, government, and life in general all fall into chaos. Without resolution, there is no foundation upon which to stand. And building off his thought, I would say that without resolve to live God's way, there is no foundation upon which to stand. And so no matter what happened last year, I want to challenge you to resolve to live God's way no matter what this year. If you will focus on God and his ways and resolve to live by them, you will be blessed. Now, there's probably no better way to cement that type of decision than through a fast. And so just briefly, I want to shift gears here and talk to you about our upcoming 21-day fast, which starts tomorrow. Now, for some of us, it's been a year since we last fasted. For others, maybe this year will be the first time you will join us for the fast. And whatever your level of experience with fasting, I just kind of want to give you a crash course on fasting. For some of you, this might be review, so just stick with me. So let's start with the basics here and define what we mean by fasting, okay? Biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Now, some may choose to abstain from other things besides food, and that's fine. But biblical fasting is refraining from food, which reminds us that fasting is not just going without food for a period of time. That's dieting. It's refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Yes, you might get, the byproduct of losing weight. That's great. But the main deal you're after is it's for a spiritual purpose. And in the Bible, fasting was done for a variety of purposes, but the main reason was always to draw near to God. So if you're here today and your relationship with Jesus Christ feels distant, your walk with him feels stale, it just feels like you can't seem to gain traction in your spiritual life, you should consider fasting. So first and foremost, a fast is always about drawing near to God. But sometimes in a secondary way, we fast because we want to see breakthrough in another area of our life. Maybe you're trying to gain traction in a pattern of sin that you just haven't been able to kick. Maybe you're trying to figure out what you should do in this next season of life. Maybe you want to see a breakthrough in a relationship with a parent or a friend. Maybe there's a sickness or disease in your family that you're asking the Lord for a breakthrough with. Those are all reasons to fast. Now, if you're going to fast, I have found through experience that it's helpful to have a plan. So don't just have a goal to fast. Have a plan. Goals without plans are what we call wishes. So I want to help you plan through what I'm going to call the Fast Six. I think there's a movie called The Fast Six, but this is my Fast Six, the Fast Six, right? In journalism, they have the Journalist Six, right? Who, what, where, when, why, how. But I'm going to give you the Fast Six. And the Fast Six is really, it's a way to help you plan out your fast. So if you have a pen and paper, we'll go through this quick, or notes on your phone, I want to encourage you to take that out now. And I want you to write down these six words with space to write in between each of them. Now, you're not going to write all kinds of stuff in them now. You do that later today. But I want you to write these six words with a space in between in this order. So it's why, what, when, how, where, and who. Why, what, when, how, where, and who. Okay, now I'll explain how these work as you're writing them down. Why, what, when, how, where, and who. And then later today, I want you to take some time to fill out your plan using these words as your guide. So why? Why is, you're asking the question, why am I fasting? Specifically, what areas in your life do you feel stuck and need to see a breakthrough? Determine your why. That's before you even start to fast, determine why am I fasting? I love what Jensen Franklin, I've used this quote many times, a pastor who's written a lot about fasting, said, if God came down and asked you to list the three top things you want him to do in your life, you should know those reasons and keep them before you during this time of fasting. So why are you fasting? Take some time today and write out why am I fasting? Obviously to draw near to God, but is there anything else that I'm going to be fasting about this year? So that's why. Then what? One of the things you're going to need to determine next is what type of fast is going to be the most meaningful to you and God. There are several different ways you can do this. Okay, a normal fast would be abstaining from food and drinking only water and 100% juice. Partial fast would be what we call the Daniel fast. That's only fruits and veggies and water. I usually do a mixture of those two during the 21 days. And I'll just tell you right up front, we say this every year when it comes to fasting. If you have any medical condition or on a medication that would make it difficult or dangerous to go without food for any extended period of time, I want to encourage you, if you're under 18, don't try this without speaking to one of your parents about it. Or if you're above that, speaking to a doctor, okay? So some choose to fast from other things like media, and ultimately there are no hard and fast rules for what you decide. The key is make it meaningful between you and God. I love what my dad's always said. If it doesn't mean anything to you, it won't mean anything to God. And remember, if you're fasting food, don't try to run before you crawl. So if you've never fasted before, and this will be your first time joining us, don't start by trying to go 21 days without food. Maybe start with just a meal. If you're gonna try to go 24 hours, I will tell you that going from lunch to lunch is probably one of the best ways to crawl before you run. You eat lunch and then don't eat again until lunch the next day. So that's the what. Why am I doing it? What kind of fast is gonna be the most meaningful? Then there's the when. And here I wanna encourage you to mark down when you will spend time with the Lord. Because remember, the goal of fasting is to spend the time you would normally spend doing said thing you're fasting from and spend it with God. For example, if you're fasting lunch every day, well, then you might put down from 12 to 12:45, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. If you're fasting media, maybe you say, you know what, I spend 30 minutes before bed every night scrolling through my phone, and so you know what, I'm going to fast from that, and I'm going to take that 30 minutes from 9 to 9:30, and I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. Again, the goal of fasting is if I'm fasting from food, the goal is I'm going to take that time that I'd normally be eating, and I'm going to spend it with the Lord. So you determine when, and I encourage you to be specific here, when are you going to spend time with the Lord? So you got why, what, when, then there's how. This is where you're going to determine how you will spend your added time with the Lord. How am I going to spend that time with the Lord? A great option to fill some of your time with the Lord would be, like we said, to watch our daily, we have, you know, online recorded worship videos, and we have daily devotionals online, and we're going to walk all the way through Psalm 119. We'll release one of those every day. And we'll read a portion of Psalm 119, talk about what it means for our lives, and then have a specific application for that day that will involve journaling and praying. And you can access the journal for the fast and all the resources, the daily devotionals. You can access those online at northwoods.church/blessedyear. And if you are a person that likes a hard copy of a journal like this. We're going to have a limited number of these that you can find outside in the lobby today. They'll be on, you know, the information desk out there. And so that's, if you want a hard copy, that's here. So determine how you're going to spend your time. Set aside each day. Might be reading through another book of the Bible. Might be reading a certain book by a Christian author. Might be spent praying, worshiping, studying God's word. Determine how you're going to spend your time. And again, be specific. I've just found having a plan is going to help you have a great fast. Then we're to where. And we're getting specific here. In other words, where will you spend your time with the Lord? Now, this might feel like overkill, but here's the truth. If you're at work for lunch, where will you go to spend time with the Lord? Are you going to just crank up the worship tunes right there in the break room and start worshiping right out in front of everybody? I mean, you can do that if you want, but probably not. So determine where will you do it? On my morning walk, after I get the kids to bed in my recliner, my car in the parking lot, where will you spend your time with the Lord? And then that last word that I want you to think through this afternoon is who? Who are you going to do this fast with? You know, there's a reason we do this corporately. Who will be that person that you check in with to say, you know what, how are things going for you and how can I be praying for you and vice versa during this time of fasting? Ultimately, fasting is between you and the Lord, but that doesn't mean you can't do this alongside a friend and challenge and encourage one another. You know, driving back last night, you know, my brother asked me the question, what are you fasting for this year? What are you going to be praying about? I asked him the same question. So we're going to be praying for each other during the fast. He's one of my who's. He's the person that I'll be checking in with and encourages me to press in and keep seeking the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's times during every fast where I need someone to talk me off the ledge because I'm like, I'm ready to be out. I just saw a commercial with a cheeseburger and I'm ready to just abandon everything. So we always need someone that can be there to encourage us, right? So who is it? Who's that person going to be that you're going to check in with, encourage, that's going to be praying with you as you're fasting, you're going to be praying for them? Who is that person? So there you have it, all right? That's the fast six. Why, what, when, how, where, who? And I want to encourage you, spend some time this afternoon. It won't take long. Filling some of those out. Listen, you Bear fans, they don't have any shot at the playoffs. You even have to watch, right? Just, I'm joking. Listen, you can just spend some time filling that out, okay? And I'm telling you, you have a plan going into it. You're going to be prepared for the fast. Now, as we close, we always like to start the beginning of the year at the first Sunday of the month. Around the Lord's table, taking communion together. So if you have your elements, those of you online, get those ready now. And, you know, as we were just talking about in Psalm 119 this morning, really talking about walking in obedience to God. And I was thinking about this morning, that in the Bible, many times we refer to taking communion, Paul talked about it, as the Lord's Supper. And so as we come into this time, I want you to think about this. I looked this up this morning. In the New Testament, you know, Jesus is our Savior, but he's also our Lord. The word Savior in the New Testament is used about 20 to 30 times. The word Lord is used over 600 times. Now, Savior, for many people, Jesus is Savior, meaning like he's my fire insurance. You know, I'm going to keep living the way I want. But, you know, I got him in my back pocket. I surrendered to, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I prayed a prayer. He's my Savior. I'm going to heaven when I die. He's your Savior. But for many people, he's not Lord, meaning he's not the person that I'm going to obey and follow in everything. And so as we talk about the Lord's Supper, I want to encourage you as we come into this time to just make a renewed commitment to saying, Lord, you're not only my Savior, but you're Lord of my life. Be Lord of my life this year. I'm committing to walking and living how you say. You're Lord of my life. You just tell him that in your heart right now. Lord, you are Lord. And I'm committing again afresh to being under your leadership in my life. Jesus, your Lord. It's the Lord's Supper. And so as we come to the table, we're reminded of, you know, the bread. You can take that top layer off. We talk about this. This is the Lord's body broken for us. And there's, you know, there's a passage in John 6. I want to read that to you real quick. In John 6, where Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so that the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Now, Jesus isn't talking about, hey, I want you to come eat my literal physical body. But he's talking about how the bread and the body, the bread and the juice, right, impart nourishment to our lives. That there is a life that is imparted to us as we partake of this, that there is spiritual nourishment and life imparted to our body, to our soul. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for your body, which was broken for us. Bible says that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Now we know that the cup represents the blood of Jesus. I wanted to share with you, church, as we go into this time, I had a lot of time to think as I was driving from Florida all the way home. One of the words that the Lord spoke into my heart just a couple months ago was at the Freedom Weekend. The Lord said, "John, I'm going to be your defender. I'm going to be your defender." And I can share with you another time about how that spoke into some of the deepest places in my life. But I want you to think about the blood. Is the enemy, Satan, is the accuser. And it's the blood is the defense against his accusations. The blood silences his accusations. But I want you to recognize also that the blood not only silences the accusations, but it defends against the attacks of the enemy. You know, in Exodus, when Moses was leading the people out, and the night of Passover, when he told them to put blood on the doorposts, he said, "You have blood on the doorposts, the angel of death will pass over you." I want you to think about that. If the angel of death could not step across that bloodline, I just got a sense. I really believe Satan ain't stepping across that bloodline either. And so I want you to declare this today. You thank Jesus for his blood, but you declare again and say, "Jesus, by your blood, I now cancel every attack of the enemy on my life. I plead the blood over my life, my health, my family, my children, my home, my finances. Jesus, we thank you for your blood and that we overcome by the blood." The Bible says on the same night Jesus was betrayed, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Church, let's stand as we close. Are you glad you made it out in the weather like this? I just believe there's something that happens when the people of God come together. I'm so glad we'd be together this morning. So let me pray for you as we close. Lord, I thank you. We thank you again for your word. And again, church, if this is your declaration today, just pray this, speak this to the Lord in your heart. Lord, I commit to walking in obedience to you this year. You are Lord of my life. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for your promise that as we walk according to your word, we will be blessed. I pray your blessing over your people. And I pray that 2022, that no matter what lie ahead in 2022, regardless of what happens, I pray it would be a blessed year for every single one of us who choose to make you Lord of our life and to follow and obey every word that you say. I thank you for that, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, listen, if you need prayer for anything, I think we'll have a few people from our prayer team down front. We'd love to have you come down. We'd love to pray with you. And again, fast starts tomorrow. You can find those daily devotional videos online. Looking forward to it. Have a great rest of your day.
Awesome, awesome. That was such a good message. And I'm so glad, again, that we are kicking off this series called The Blessed Year. I just want to reiterate that if you are looking for those daily devotional videos, the journaling prompts, worship videos, anything that you could need to just support you on this fast is available in the Northwoods app or online. You can get all of that at the link on your screen. And also, I just wanted to pass on an opportunity to you. If you are part of our online family and you're looking for a way to get more involved, maybe in serving, I have some specific needs on our volunteer team. I'm looking for 4 new chat hosts and 4 new prayer team members for this year on our team. And I can tell you that we have a lot of fun. We have team members who serve from Ecuador. We have team members who travel all over the country and they join us every single weekend online and they serve, and we have so much fun serving you and serving the online community, praying for you guys, helping you guys feel like you are a part of this community and just inviting you to join in. And so if that is something that you are interested in, I encourage you to go onto our website. And if you haven't already, take the 4 steps. That's the very first thing that we need you to do if you want to join any of our volunteer teams. And also check out the opportunities finder. If you're looking for an online opportunity, you can filter that in the menu, but there are also serving opportunities all over the church. So maybe you're somebody who watches online sometimes and who comes and joins us in person. You may very well find a serving opportunity that fits your skills and gifts and talents as well. So check out the opportunities finder and get plugged in this year. We would love to have you part of our volunteer team. I hope that you have an awesome rest of your week, and what a great way to get it started. We'll see you back next week.